Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. My name is Kat, and my lovely co-host, DC Love, has been in recovery from a cold, so she will not be joining us tonight. So feel better, DC. However, we do have a special guest, James Carr, and I'm just going to read you his bio very quickly. He is a well-recognized artist living in the Brandywine Valley. And he attended the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts. His main venue is conceptual, figurative oil painting. And he has an uncanny ability to bring to the surface the spirit of the subject. He is a gifted empath and has been blessed with the grace of spiritual channeling. He feels the reason for the compelling aspects of his art comes from an observance of the subject, which he then translates creatively onto the canvas, panics, and believes that it is indeed the bridge between science and spirituality. All right, so thank you for joining us. Let's see. So right now we are going to do our sound, Mother Mary sound healing transmission. Okay. Okay, that was beautiful. These Mother Mary healings for our listeners are very powerful. And just to give testimony to more Mother Mary's hand healings and miracles, while sitting with a sick friend, DC and I had done two transmissions on her beforehand. She had not been outside of her bed for literally 4 weeks. During the transmission, I was actually hugging her times, and all kinds of visions came in. But the day that I arrived at her home after this happened, my friend, who is on hospice at this time, she not only got up out of her bed, but she walked outside. She hadn't been outside for, like I said, like 4-6 weeks. But she got up, she sat outside, and literally sat outside for 5 hours. Even when it started to get just a little bit chilly, I said, would you like to come inside? And she said, no, just, you know, if you can get me like a blanket. So, and God blessed us with just a beautiful, beautiful day. So, but it was at that time.
A little bit chilly. I'm inside.
But at that
time, blanket. So, and God blessed us.
I'm not sure what that was, but anyway, but at the time, she revealed to me that she had felt a hug, two hugs, and those were the hugs that I had given her. So I almost fell off my chair, and these healings are not just real. I mean, they are bringing attention to all of us in a big way. These healings and miracles are being done on a physical, mental, spiritual, and ancestral and generational level. It was, it's amazing. So also, you know, where there is life, there is hope. And the healing and the power of our words in these Mother Mary healings just are, you know, amazing. My sick friend also, she started to sing and wanted to redecorate her house. It was amazing. So it was also amazing is at the same time that DC and I had, DC had seen fireworks. I had said right beforehand that we were going to be celebrating a birthday party, but she saw the fireworks at the same time. So that was just a synchronicity that you just, you know, you can't make that up. Another testimony is my mom's collarbone was broken. How, I'm not really sure, but it had been broken for a while. But after we had already done, okay, as soon as we found out it was broken, we did the Mother Mary healing, and when she went right away, like she went to her doctor, the x-ray showed it was already healing. So no surgery was needed. I don't believe she would have been able to make that surgery. So, the healing continues. These are all like miracle explosions, and we're the vessels of divine healing. So all the glory and honor does go to the divine here, but this is just, you know, amazing stuff. And I wanted to talk about a few nights ago, DC and I connected with a friend as we actually traveled together. That's how we connected. We actually traveled together with a friend, and ended up at this magical beach, which can honestly only be described as like a heavenly beach, because it was just, it was different. And Mother Mary was there, and she was in the water, but she wasn't getting wet. At the time that DC and I had connected traveling, I had just written about how special friendships are like sacred gardens mixed with wildflowers that nourish our heart, mind, and soul. And at the same time, while I was writing this, DC and I walked with Mother Mary, and Mother Mary gave to me a sacred red rose, which I'm going to share with you, as it is truly, truly beautiful, profound healing message that Mother Mary gave to me. I am going to share with you because it was meant to be shared. And this experience, like I said, was just and continues to just be profound. And you'll understand why when I read the message that she gave to me. All right. So this is Mother Mary's message. Mother Mary has heard your prayers and knows the suffering you have endured. She asks that you trust in her divine healing abilities. We are going to release and let go of all that no longer serves us, including cellular memory, emotional wounds inflicted on you as a child, limitations, ancestral roots that need healing, and pain that has traveled through family lines. She says, sit really comfortably and close your eyes. Slowly breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. One more time. Slowly breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Now envision. Envision a beautiful sacred rose filled with unconditional love being placed within your heart by Mother Mary. As you breathe, imagine your breath going directly into your heart. As you continue to breathe, the sacred rose begins to bloom. As it does, it brings with it heavenly blessings. These blessings are healing, trust, and courage that will help you with whatever circumstances you are facing. You now take a moment and place your intentions into the beautiful sacred rose. I'm going to give everyone just a moment to think of the intentions that you want to see happen. Anything that is bothering you, anything you're holding on to, anything you need to let go of, any limitations, just put it into the rose. So once you do this, you'll feel a beautiful warmth upon your body. A divine love and light fills every fiber of your being. This beautiful energy connects with every cell in your body and brings healing where it's needed. You feel Mother Mary holding you in her heavenly embrace as she continues to fill your entire being with this divine and loving energy, which also heals any situation you are concerned about. This amazing healing will continue to take place on all levels, physical, emotional, spiritual, and on the soul's level until all healing is complete. Wow. You will feel Mother Mary's divine essence within your heart, knowing you have unlimited divine resources that are within your sacred rose and are available to you when needed. Mother Mary's divine healing has no limitations, so it can go with you wherever love can go. Love heals all wounds and removes all obstacles. I love you, Mother Mary. This is just so profound because Mother Mary's sacred red rose is with us forever. There are no time limits. You can pass it on to others, and through us, all of you, me, Mother Mary is asking us, help her heal the world. Three words, faith, believe, and surrender. Okay, so I'm going to welcome James Carr at this time. James, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Just
good.
Trying to make sure we get the energy going here. So.
Yes. So wasn't it amazing, these Mother Mary healings? They're just,
oh, yeah, it really was.
Yeah. So we've already talked about bio, and I am going to ask you some questions while I have you. So the first question here is, do you believe that the arts are essentially spiritually guided?
Oh, I absolutely do, without any question. And by the way, I had one of those what the bleep situations today. And as interestingly enough, well, it's not interesting, it's definitely going to happen. But the last time I was on with you, it was a month and a half ago, I also had a similar situation. I was on social media and something came up. You might recall that. It was talking about how the spirit came through the brush and onto the canvas. And I had just seen that day. Well, today I had another one came up, which, you know, was completely random. And I want to read you this. It's just the one line, but it's absolutely true. Mirrors are used to see the face, to see the soul.
Wow.
Do you see what I mean? It's absolutely true. And I think that's definitely, I mean, that's any arts. I saw another one today, which was art in painting is just poetry without words. But poetry is an art, of course, and music. So they all are involved with animating the spirit. And, of course, it takes practice. You have to learn how to do certain aspects of it. But that innate, whatever that is in art, cellular formation. I think fortunately with some people, you know, the arts are just something that they immediately just flows up. And it's definitely coming through a spiritual channel. So any rate, so you had said, yeah.
I wanted
to mention something. Yeah, we had mentioned in our last discussion on air that you had said something, and I absolutely had loved it. As a matter of fact, I believe I had seen it as well, that the heart has its own neurons, which are the same cells within the brain. And that's, to me, I've always innately sort of sense that the arts, my painting and any other artist will probably tell you the same thing. It's coming through the heart. And of course we always meant that metaphorically in the sense, but what you mentioned with the neurons in the heart, and I think you said it was like 40,000 cells. That's where our emotional intelligence originates. I completely believe that.
Isn't it wild that it has its own brain? It's separate.
I know. So, it's just like, that's so, it explains, you know, something that we've known for thousands of years, that, you know, the brain organizes things. It sees things.
Right.
It gives you rationality. It gives you understanding and reason. But the one from the heart gives you that ability to intuitively see things and feel things and make those feelings, enhances those feelings so they can be projected.
Yes. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show in terms of the organs, the heart transplant recipients, how, you know, they end up, some of them, taking on personality traits of their donors. And it's mostly the heart patients. And so, again, we'll get into that. But I'm going to ask you the next question.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I sure am.
How does quantum mechanics fit into your idea of art?
You know, I love the title of your program, Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. It's always been something of interest to me. I've always loved science, but I think sometimes it wants to close the window of that emotional intelligence. And quantum physics, or mechanics, they use both terms, that's where the key comes in. Because, and this has been proven many times, there are experiments that have indicated that when subatomic particles, neurons, protons, electrons, are sent out in a certain direction, unobserved, they'll do one thing. They'll go through one slit in a, whatever it is they use. But when it's observed, they'll do something completely different. And this is consistent each time. It's not just that it happens one time. It happens every time. So that right. observation is what is changing and actually somehow redirecting those particles. So
that's,
for example,
there's no time or space is what that shows.
I'm sorry,
correct.
What did you say?
That shows that if you can manipulate a neuron, an atom, one place, and it is manipulated in across the world, that shows that there's no time and space.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, the real theory is that you could be on the other side of the galaxy, and if a proton changes they go around, spin around. If it changes its spin, then an electron on the other side of the galaxy would, without any time differential, it instantly reacts. So even though we've always believed that the speed of light is a barrier to this, it obviously isn't. Because
right.
quantum physics is breaking that down.
Right. Exactly. So interesting, too, isn't it? Because what we once thought, was not true, even if we can't explain it in its entirety, we know that it's true. And if things are coming to light now that just have not in the past. So if you think about it, if everyone stayed the same, if there was no advances in, science and or, quantum mechanics, this is even the naysayers at this point, it would be hard to just reject the idea that, for instance, we're the only people on, in the universe, there has to be life. It's just too big and expansive, right? And
oh, sure.
Right. So just for a little dot in the Milky Way galaxy, we're just the dust of sand, if you think about it.
I know.
So there has to be life out there. And I feel like we're being told of, more and more about this universal light beings that you know, are here to help us, but we have to get it together, you know, to be able to receive that those downloads, right? Because you know, they're here to help humanity. They're here to help us. But in order to be able to receive those downloads and to create, because that's what we're here to do is create, like you're creating, right? We're creating here with these Mother Mary healings. And, you know, it's more than that. It's just, you know, it's a world, it's a world vision. And it's actually happening. So, but it takes consistency and it takes discipline and it really takes, you know, you have to put in the time. And so it may leave other people thinking, what is going on? Like, why aren't you around? Or, you know, those type of things. But it's because we're on a mission, right? And Mother Mary's truly making herself known in a big, big, big way. And, you know, you working through spirit in your work, you know, this is something that is a gift to us all, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, one other thing, too. I mean, quantum physics actually takes us into the realm of miracles because, you know, people, skeptics, of course, think that they're, well, everything is can be understood. Everything is, you know, within a formulaic possibility, but definitely not. I mean, for example, there was another experiment where a priest of some kind in Japan had prayed over a lake, just prayed over a lake, and did that for a few days or a week, checked the water, found out that the molecules had become very beautifully arranged and organized. And after a time, he stopped doing that. They took the water out again, and it began to look really broken and ragged, and because somehow, miraculously, his prayers were benefiting and the health of that of those water molecules of that. So we do that on with the entire earth. You know, we're going to make it a much more I mean, it's a beautiful planet as it is, but we can make it so much more beneficial for everyone and every living organism.
Right. And to think that we're made up of water, think how much we're made up of water. But I know where you're coming from because that experiment with the water, he had, the scientists had taken bottles of water and he put the intention of, for instance, joy. Put the intention in another bottle, just labeled it, and put the intention out there, happiness, in another bottle, gratitude with that intention, and then another bottle would be like the word glee or sad or those type of things. And then when put under a special microscope, it was those intentional healing words of gratitude, joy, happiness, that the water crystallized in a way that just was beautiful. And then what you're speaking about over the lake, same thing, the words that were not, you know, healing words or joyful words or anything to do with gratitude, that just, it just took it apart and made it ugly. It made it so that nothing crystallized in any type of beautiful form. And so that's what, those are real scientific studies. And, you know, always it just reminds me when I, you know, I hear about that too, is to just remind listeners that we have power. Our words have power. And, you know, to pray, right, to pray over, you know, people, to pray for ourselves, to, you know, keep a positive mindset is very important. You know, even if, look, we're human, so we're going to, you know, have a negative emotion here and there. It's just normal, right? But it's just getting right back on track. That's all, you know, and it's letting go of what no longer serves us, because that holds us back, you know, and it's forgiving when we don't want to forgive, right? But that is just taking our power back. It's not saying, I agree with what you're saying. I just, you know, you can hold on to what, you know, at the time that person gave to us, but you release what, let go of what didn't work, because it doesn't help us. And, you know, and there's no mistakes, like there's no, in terms of, you know, just these experiences, you know, these experiences are, they're there. And so whatever we are experiencing, like I said, you need to follow the hunches that you're being given, because those are your angels. That's the universe. That's, you know, it's giving you nudges, you know, to think a certain way, you know. And so if you continue to have, like, the same thought, like, what makes you happy? What doesn't make you happy? You know, those are things that you want to pay attention to, especially if they are continuing the repetitive over and over and over again. You want to pay attention to that, because that is, you're being called, you know. It could even be your ancestors calling you to make a change to help them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, it's really interesting when you get down to the nuts and bolts of all of this. And it's sometimes overwhelming, but at the same time, it's real. And we're seeing this reality manifest before our eyes at this time. You know, we're going through changes right now with, I know it's this eclipse coming up. We're supposed to, you know, it's like we're supposed to be, I don't want to call it the shadow side, but it's just bringing up things that are, you want to release, because it's not going to be here forever. It's going to be here for a while. And, you know, you're being asked, you're being called, you're given this immense, immense, immense opportunity to create. That's what we're here to do. And to follow our vision and to, you know, to do what we came here to do. And if you are paying attention to that, it's happening, right? But we're not going to have that forever. So, you know, you want to do it now. And like I said, it's discipline and it's repetitiveness and it's doing the work, because it is work. But, you know, the creating, it's huge. And so I just want to bring that up. But it's with this eclipse coming up, it's like it's important to let go. Because if we don't, it just takes us longer to manifest what it is we're wanting to do, because we're holding on to things that are not helping us. Does that make sense, right?
Sure. And I wanted to mention too, you know, I generally speaking, I use social media, and I mean, there's a lot of positive aspects to it. There's some aspects to it can be seen as being less deep than other aspects. But obviously for an artist, particularly a painter, to be able to have the exposure through social media to the entire globe is something that, well, we really would have never had before. But what I have found, and I don't have a lot of followers, but I have a fairly good number. I'm up to about 1,000 now. And what I find is that it doesn't matter. I get reactions of appreciation from every country. Doesn't matter which one it is. Doesn't matter if we consider them adversary or what it is. The arts lift us beyond that. And, you know, and I feel the same way. I mean, I see work that's from Asia or China or everywhere in the world. And if I, you know, when I respond to it, I respond to that creative impulse. And in many cases, it's beautiful or it's meaningful. And that transcends all these, you know, issues that we have that are political or in some cases faith or even culture. So I think we're definitely moving karmically towards a higher level of spiritual evolution. And if we keep doing it, if we keep praying and, you know, bringing art to be seen as something that can bring us together, it's got to be good for us. And as a matter of fact, it's good for the whole universe. Because I know that, you know, we're one little speck of sand in the whole universe, but I do think we're pretty special in that we have consciousness. And and we've been fortunate to have, you know, Jesus and the Lord himself. And, you know, we're not the only, it's not just Christianity. Muslims are the same basic belief system as is any other one. So there is something, I think it's still going to be unique. I don't doubt that we will meet other, you know, beings. As a matter of fact, somebody said, you know, I saw something online the other day, and someone said, well, how come we've never seen them? And the answer was, well, if they were technically advanced enough to be here, do you think that they would necessarily be able to be technically advanced enough for you not to know that, not to see them,
yeah.
Which, of course, would be true.
Well, I think it's also because we may just not be paying attention either, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true,
but
too.
That, yeah, some of us do see them, and some people don't, and it's all good. You know, but you can tap into your consciousness without actually seeing them, right? So that's, you know, just the divine beings that are here to help us is, you know, what I'm most interested in. But anyway, here's a question for you. Do you believe your artwork reveals the spirit in the subject?
Well, I haven't heard about that. You know, I started painting rather much later than most artists. I was halfway through my life, and I had done music. I was pretty good at music, but, you know, I decided I have these images, and I can paint them. And I took class after class after class. I learned the fundamentals. I learned how to make the, you know, the dark and the light and all those technical things. But it still comes down to, I don't actually know how I'm going to project this painting. I just don't know it. A lot of artists will actually do a drawing and they'll follow that drawing, but I never have done that. And it just comes from, you know, in my opinion, it's coming from a source that I am somehow channeling, and I've been fortunate and gifted with that. I do think anyone can do that. I think anyone would benefit from any kind of art that they want to pursue, whether it's dancing or poetry or music or anything that brings out another aspect of themselves, brings out that emotional intuition that's probably coming from the heart. And that's better for everybody.
You had mentioned earlier Eckhart Tolle, the flowering of human consciousness, leaving out that last part. Did you want to talk a little bit about that? The flowering of human consciousness.
Oh, yeah. The evolution, did you mean? Is that what you mean? Well, actually, Eckhart Tolle is a world teacher, and I've followed him for a long time. But one of my favorite aspects was how he talked about the evolution of consciousness and the evolution of really everything. He speaks about, okay, you have carbon and you have coal and it's a mineral, but under intense pressure and over a millions of years, it becomes a diamond. He also talks about dinosaurs, let's say, which are kind of a, you know, carnivorous. They weren't all, but, you know, pretty low.
He also talks about the explosion of color, too.
I'm sorry?
He also talks about the explosion of color. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah. I've done different paintings where, you know, I want to use a lot of carmine red. I want to make a really bright statement, and that's then going to project off to the viewer, hopefully something that kind of triggers, oh, yeah, that's exciting. You know, that's a really – it's not just a cool, beautiful painting, but it's an exciting painting. And the same with if you go into a cool color, you're going to temper that, and it's going to make for a more sublime feeling. So, yeah, that's what I would see. But carrying back to the other one that I was saying, you know, they say that birds were at one time dinosaurs. Are hardly kind of hard to believe. But, and again, there's that ever higher evolution. Yeah, but so I see the spirit in whatever I do. It's not just the portraits. I also do some florals and some landscapes, and it's the same thing. The energy through the observation comes to the canvas and becomes something, you know, hopefully that's kind of remarkable.
So you're really undergoing enlightenment at this time, it sounds like.
Yes. But I had made it a pastime to study, you know, Zen Buddhism and Taoism and Hinduism. In fact, I took a class in comparative religions because I was so interested in the different outlooks of different faiths. And so, yeah, but I do find that there's a whole different level as an artist than just the cerebral understanding of the faiths. So, thank you.
Sure. You want to move on to cellular memory here, but feel free to just add your comments, because I know that you know some of this, and so it would be helpful as well. So I'm going to start here. So in terms of cellular memory, which is what we are trying to heal here, right, every cell in the body has its own intelligence. So what we refer to as our mind is a combination of memory and intelligence. A single cell in your body has more memory than what your conscious mind has. Our forefathers lived thousands of years ago, and we are still carrying cellular memory in our bodies. Remember, we do not remember our forefathers. There's no memory in our conscious memory. Every cell in the body has more memory and is functioning in such complex ways. Our chemical functioning, which needs a certain level of intelligence. People think their mind is just in their heads. What happens in your head is limited in comparison to what happens to every cell in your body. An enormous amount of memory is being processed on a daily basis from moment to moment. We are living minds. If you live within the conscious mind, if you limit what you can achieve, what you consider as mind or intelligence is supposed to give you perception and enhance your perception. This will give you the possibility of expanding your experiences beyond any limitation of your physical boundaries, beyond limitations of your sensory perceptions. Make life into a phenomenal experience. So, you know, that's just something that is just, just amazing. You know, we have scientifically, cellular memory refers to traumatic memories that are stored in our cells, and we may not even be aware of them because they've been passed down genetically through generations. And it's been scientifically proven through brain scans that our ancestors' trauma exists in our memories, passed down to us regardless if we traumatic event or not, which is just said. So our DNA holds physical, mental, and cellular blueprints, and the experiences that our ancestors had can still be affecting us today. So these Mother Mary Santa healings are one way to clear out ancestral generational trauma, which we are currently doing as far back as it goes. And so this is something that, again, like this is going back, you know, people talk about clearing out, you know, a certain amount of generations where we're going back to the beginning of time, you know. So when was that? You know, in my visions, it's going back, like, planetary. You know, it's universal. It's going through black holes. It's the beginning of time, right? Because when did this start? So this is what we're clearing out, and it's happening. Miracles continue to happen, and evidence-based data of personal, familial, and global healing is manifesting literally before our eyes. And then you had talked about, you know, the organs. So in healing on a cellular level, it's vital that we heal organs that have been transplanted into someone else's body, as there is clear scientific data showing organ recipients that are currently taking on the personality and other traits of organ donors, especially the heart transplant recipients, which is what you had mentioned earlier, James, right? Because the heart has its own brain. For instance, one heart recipient, introverted and conservative pre-surgery, began to take on the personality traits of her organ donor post-surgery. She became more outgoing, was not as conservative, a new wardrobe, observably not the clothes she normally wore, as reported by her daughter and other friends, and she even purchased a motorcycle just like the one her organ donor had. And these traits don't go away. They're there. There's even support groups for them at this point. And then this is new. So there's an article dated on 3/7/2022 where a six-month-old baby received a heart transplant, which research is suggesting may lead to a prevention of organ rejection in the future. So Duke University doctors say a baby is thriving after a first-of-its-kind heart transplant, one that comes with a bonus technique to try to help prevent, like I said, rejection of the new organ. And it goes on to state that the thymus plays a critical role in building the immune system, and doctors hope by implanting this thymus tissue that matches a donor's organ might help it survive without the recipient needing toxic anti-rejection medicines. And this is fascinating to me because anything that's toxic, I want as far away from me as possible. And that can be people, places, things, thoughts, feelings. Like, it just, you know, the out, you know, pesticides, herbicides, you know, anything, the air, the water, anything. I don't want toxic anywhere near me. So, but we live in the world, and it's hard to stay away from all things toxic. But when we're talking about this, you know, these organ transplants, I mean, they do have to have this toxic medicine to help prevent, right? It's an anti, right? Mm-hmm. So to think that they may not need to do that, like, it's pretty fascinating. But so to date, Duke physicians announced the baby who received the processed thymus implants appear to be functioning as hoped, producing immune cells that don't treat the little one's new heart like a foreign tissue. This is interesting, as we had already talked about clearing donors' organs prior to, like, the recipient receiving it due to cellular memory. Because we had talked about cellular memory first, and then talked about who's, you know, how do we get, you know, if you, for instance, DC and I have this conversation about, you know, these sex, these kids being, you know, sex trafficking is everywhere, right? They're taking their organs. Well, that is traumatic. I mean, that's just, I mean, you talk about fear and trauma and all of that, right? These poor kids. So you have this organ now that's holding all that cellular memory, and it's being you know, it's being put into someone else. Well, what, no one is talking about clearing that. Nobody. So this is something that is actually new, you know, and so this is what we're also trying to do, and it's just, it's really remarkable.
I can't imagine anything more appalling and evil as that. That is just unthinkable, really. But
yeah.
But I think, you know, what you and Sacred Embers can do so much, I would think, and with the prayers and the help to you know, to cleanse those genetic conditions that are in that plant, that are in that heart or whatever it is, but it's primarily, I think, the heart that's going to be very, very important.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big study, and I'm sure there's a lot more to, you know, there needs to be more longitudinal studies here, but just to hear that was just, like, really fascinating with the baby. You know, I just, there's, you know, what is life, there's hope. So, but I wanted to move on to sound frequencies, because frequencies are really important. And when we talk about cancer, because cancer is something that we work on as well, and we can all, as a collective, do this, you know, and so, for instance, in 2020, one research study found that 1 minute of 500,000 hertz ultrasounds delivered in 20 millisecond bursts killed nearly every cancer cell. It didn't hurt the blood cells and left more than 8 in every 10 immune cells unharmed. So again, there needs to be more studies done, but, you know, they're coming up with positive results and positive outcomes, you know, at this time. And so it's just something that is very encouraging. And then you add, again, like the Mother Mary healings, you add the power of prayer, you know, as a collective, people can do it together. It's just so because, right, we don't have a cure for cancer, right? So when you hear things like this, it just brings hope and just, you know, you just want to send more light, more light. So there's a lot more to explore here, like I said, but if this is true, this is very exciting, as most cancer treatments involve surgery, chemical poisons, and or toxic radiation, because they tend to take out the healthy cells along with the cancerous ones. And these treatments are brutal. And this new approach is called ultrasound energy, which is destroying the cancer cells as we speak. So that's just like a wow moment.
It sure is.
Well, that's me.
The side of science that is so great and so beneficial. And, you know, it's just wonderful, really, what science can do. And the only thing I would say is that All Too Awesome, it only looks at things material way and not from a spiritual standpoint. But there are many, I think any doctor or any one who's involved in discovering these new theorems and ways to treat things such as cancer, I mean, they've got great souls, and they're doing the Lord's work, that's for sure.
Yes, definitely. Now, keep in mind, you know, your lifestyle has a lot, you know, may have a lot to do with it too. You know, it's just, you know, and it's over a lifetime. But, you know, and again, we can't always control our environment. You know, but I did read that, so like, you know, if you're a smoker your whole life, for instance, well, then if you get lung cancer, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just at all. It just means that that was something that maybe, you know, happened because of a lifestyle, right? Because
sure.
No one deserves anything bad, right? And,
yeah.
You know, if, you know, you, you know, have, you know, alcohol addiction, for instance, or any kind of addiction, you know, you can get help. It's not that you can't, it's hard. And, you know, reaching rock bottom. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but you know, for those who do experience that, you know, that's a lot of times when, you know, they do seek treatment. Some just don't. And so, again, not bad people, they're beautiful people, but it's a lifestyle choice that, you know, change is hard. And that's why you want to always surround yourself with supportive people, the supportive environment. So if you struggle with, you know, not being able to take one drink, for instance, then don't hang around people who drink all the time. Sense, right? So
sure.
Just have the support that you deserve to have.
Can I just intervene for a second? That was wonderful, what that new treatment without the harmful, you know, anti-rejection chemicals,
yes,
they have to use. But, you know, I actually saw today, I think, that when I was young, which was a pretty long time ago, you know, if you had cancer, you were definitely within a 5-year likelihood of not making it. It didn't matter if they cut it out. It didn't matter what it did. You know, it just was so much less treatable. Whereas today, whereas maybe 10 or 15, 20% might have overcome it 30, 40 years ago. Today, I think it's much, much higher than that. I I don't really know the statistic, but I'm guessing it's way up near 60 and 70% or maybe more. So they are making a lot of headway with that. And that treatment you mentioned is certainly going to be very, very beneficial.
Yeah. And also, in you know, the West, it's different than if you were in the East, because in the East, cancer is treated differently. And I'm not saying rule out all Western medicine. I'm not saying that, but at least integrate the, you know, the holistic aspect of that, because it's important. For instance, in my friend that's sick, she has neuropathy in her hands and her feet, right? So what we did is we were bringing in an acupuncturist, because the acupuncturist, it's already scientifically proven to help with that, you know. So, so you know, you just have to. And I've seen so many documentaries on, you know, people with cancer and who've gone away and, you know, left themselves, and it's just like, you know, for a month, and you know, it's just, you know, they're eating differently, they're doing, you know, these, you know, with support, you know, if doctors are there, of course. But it's just a whole different ballgame. And many of them are surviving. So it's just, it's, you know, you can't always believe. I knew too much at this point to believe anything that I hear. I just don't do it. I do my own research. And, you know, I'm finding these things in places that are not headlines, you know. And I'm looking in the science, you know, the journals of, you know, the scientific journals. And I'm looking at, honest to God, like, you know, evidence-based data stuff, you know, that's happening. And so that's what I feel like we have to do at this point. But I wanted to talk real quick about how science shows healing crystals are in our brain. This is interesting to me. So crystals are from the earth, right? And crystals, what they are highly ordered crystalline solids, meaning that they are particles, atoms, ions, molecules, and they're arranged in a repeating pattern. So that means that because of their highly ordered molecular structure, crystals can maintain a vibration, whereas many humans on a molecular level are chaotic, you know, at times, and the vibration is pretty much oscillating, right? So that's what we always want to work on, right, our vibration. But look, on any given day, you know, any one of us, you know, can be in that position, you know, just getting ourselves right back in where we need to be, that's all. But this is the reason why crystals can aid us in healing, because their vibration helps to stabilize our vibration. So basically we are a crystal, right? Because scientific research has shown that we have magnetite in our brain. And magnetite is the most magnetic stone on the planet, and it's used in magnets, but it's also in our brain. So there's going to be more on that later, but why is it in our brains? I don't know yet. And they're actually still working on figuring it out. But there's also calcite, which is found in our brain. And these are little microcrystals of calcite that are found in our pineal gland. And so as most of us know, the pineal gland is very important because that's our third eye, right? It's the seat of our intention. It's where our imagination flows and our intentions are set to manifest the life that we want. So you know, it's, you know, I really want to talk about this later too. And there's things that we can do on our own, of course, to activate our third eye, you know, mindfulness, meditation, yoga, like we'll dive into all that later, but that's a really important one. And then there's energy medicine, right? Such as like, for instance, Qigong and just the energy medicine, whether it's Reiki or divine healing, whatever this is, right? So but Qigong itself, for instance, it's extracted directly from the cells in your body. So when you understand how to tap into these energy meridians, like, all right, your chakras, it could be tapping in your body and extract the energy directly from the cells in your body and focus them, power of your healing is going to begin. And they did a study on Qigong, by the way, and they're finding that there was another study showing that it showed promising outcomes in terms of healing cancer cells. So it's all over the place, you know, but it just, oh, here it is. So in terms of energy medicine, there's promising research suggesting that Qigong has the power to heal a disease forever. It has been used for thousands of years as part of a Chinese medicine and involves using distinct movements to optimize energy within the body, mind, and spirit with the goal of improving and maintaining health and well-being. So, you know, a lot of what we do too, right, is it's preventing. So we want to prevent disease before it starts. And, you know, if you start attention to what we're doing on a daily basis, stress is probably one of the biggest chronic stress that can cause cancer. It's, you want to get rid of stress, and that's why the letting go is so important, because chronic stress over time has been shown to manifest in mental health and, you know, physical ailments and disease. And so we really want to take that seriously, right? And get back to nature, you know, because nature is where it's like, let food be thy medicine, right? And truly, you know, if you want to meditate in nature, you don't have to do a guided meditation. You go out in nature and just listen to the wind and, you know, just be one with nature, and you get back what you're giving. So there's different ways of doing things, but I wanted to talk real quick too about rainbow children. So rainbow children, there's crystals, there's indigos, there's, I think we're in our fourth generation of indigos. There's not enough time to talk about them right now. And now, starting in, I want to say, around 2018, around then, rainbow children came to Earth, right? And these children, and some even came before that, but their aura holds, like, for instance, more spectrums of rays of colors. And negative emotions don't really impact them as much, because they seem to be able to quickly recover, and they're natural, like, psychics and can read people's feelings with ease. Rainbow children know that they are divinely protected, and some even claim that you may experience divinity when you look into their eyes. They are very creative, have a strong personality, are usually high energy, and can easily manifest anything that they want and need. They have the natural ability to clean toxins, even from food, being immune to a lot of the foods that are not good for them. They were born with no karma, thus leaving a life with no strings attached to the past. They are spiritually beautiful children here to help all of humanity. And not much more is known about these children yet because they're still being born. And many are still toddlers. So you have a new grandchild, which now is a rainbow child.
What's that?
I said you have a granddaughter.
Oh,
how
yes.
old is she?
She's exactly 1 year old, and she's just a beautiful, beautiful spirit already. I mean, we already see that, and she's got a wonderful mother, my daughter, and she's just hopefully going to be, she already is a real joy. Everyone around her.
So listen, for the sake of 60 seconds, so I did say I was going to pull a card for the collective, and I pulled declutter because we're in that phase again where we're just getting rid of what no longer serves us. So it just states that you'll feel better and more focused if you take the time to clear away clutter from your living and workspace. Donate what you can to help others. You may need your items. Be sure to keep your schedule uncluttered as well. So uncluttering your life, uncluttering the people that no longer belong there, uncluttering everything. I just thought that was perfect at this time. So I just want to thank you for coming on, Mr. Carr, because it's always wonderful. And I just want to thank everyone for tuning in and I hope you'll join us next Monday. And just want to say thank you again and God bless and have a beautiful evening. All right, good night.
Good night.